Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, survivors, and welcome to Survival Jobs, a podcast in collaboration with Broadway World and Broadway Podcast Network. My name is Jason A. Coombs. I'm here with my lovely, beautiful surviving vivacious superstar of a co-host. I'm gonna give you all of the adjectives.
Thank you. I mean, you know what? We are all surviving. So I think that really, really is applicable to everyone.
Yes, you are.
We're talking about survival jobs, but we are all just doing the best we can, surviving day by day. So I love that,
exactly.
Jason. Hi.
What's your mic check like?
My mic check today is like the following. I feel self-conscious about my mic. It's not like working, so I'm recording on my computer. Alan from Broadway Podcast Network will fire us only after a month. Second of all, I'm really excited for this weekend because it's BroadwayCon. And let me say something. Yes. And I'm so excited to be moderating a panel with you. And I always get super emotional because we started this show out of just frustration of a pandemic and didn't think anything really of it, just doing something to keep ourselves busy and feel inspired. And now we're having this big panel at BroadwayCon, and I'm just so excited and I'm proud of us. And I can't wait to talk to our panelists. Is that what you call them?
Yeah.
Our guests?
Yeah. Our panelists, our guests. I'm feeling the same way. I'm going to echo everything you said and on top of like having a heat stroke here, but even when we recorded our episode with our guest, Nicholas Christopher, I was like pouring sweat because we can't record with like AC on or a fan or windows open,
sure,
right? You want the best audio. As I said, we're survivors, literally. But
we sure are.
So on top of all the good stuff and positive stuff you said, I'm also just hot. Hot. Spicy. Right? Oh, I love your nails. Okay, Barbie.
I mean, you look hot. Oh my god, yeah. Thank you. Shout out to the Barbie movie, which I don't know if I have any interest in seeing it. That can be for another day. Let's go back to our panel.
Yeah, so we're hosting a panel, which is this episode comes out on Thursday, the 20th. Our panel is tomorrow, Friday, July 21st at 11:15 to 12:15 p.m. at the Marriott Marquis Times Square in the Winter Garden Palace for BroadwayCon, which is a three-day event happening this weekend. And we're speaking with three amazing Broadway actors who made their Broadway debuts in the 2022 to 2023 season, right? So we're talking to, who are we talking to, Samantha? I feel like I'm talking too much.
We are talking to Jake Peterson from Parade, Ashley D. Kelly from Shucks, and Rhea B. from Sweeney Todd, who's playing Joanna. And so... It's just so exciting. We're so lucky. I mean, we got to see all of these shows together, which is really special, you and I.
Yeah.
Out with these actors. So I'm super excited. And, you know, I was thinking all three of these shows are so different and so great. I mean, they were all nominated for Tonys. Parade won the Tony for Best Musical Revival. So I can't wait to chat with them to see what it's been like to make their Broadway debut in such well-received shows, you know? It's one thing to make your Broadway debut and dream about this moment, but then to do it in a show that's a hit.
Mega popular, yeah.
Mega popular and getting, like, amazing feedback. I can't wait to see what their experiences were like. We're going to talk about their survival jobs on the way up. We're going to talk about the process and the journey and all of the fun things. So it's going to be so fun.
It's going to be great. And who else is having a panel? Because not just us, right? A lot of our fellow BPN families having their own panels.
We do. So shout out to Alan Seals, who's going to fire us because I'm not using my mic. He has a panel on Sunday, July 23rd at 12:15 p.m. He's going to be in the Empire Complex at the Marriott, and he's going to be speaking with all the women of the Cottage, which, my God, this panel has Laura Bell Bundy, Sandy Rustin, Dana Steingold, and Lily Cooper. And shout out to the Cottage, which is opening in a couple of weeks. So that's going to be really exciting. And then, you know, our boy, Robert Peter Paul, who has been a past guest on Survival Jobs. He has a panel on Saturday, July 22nd at 3:45 p.m. in the Winter Garden Palace room. And he's chatting with past guest of ours also, Lanady Hanau, your bad Cinderella, y'all. His panel is really focused on the art of kindness. That's what his podcast is. So we're just so excited to see our fellow podcasters and friends also killing it, also doing panels and living their lives. So and check everyone out, you guys.
Yep. And Broadway Con is such a great event. If you're a theater lover, if you're a theater performer of any level, if you're just someone who loves Broadway, like, it's just a great weekend to be inspired, to meet your favorite Broadway performers, to learn, right? You're going to get an education. You're going to, like, you know, go to these panels, these workshops, and have a lot of fun. So shout out to Broadway Con. Shout out to you. Shout out to our three amazing panelists that are coming out. And shout out to Nicholas Christopher, who we're talking about today.
Shout out to Nicholas Christopher.
I forgot one thing I wanted to say really quickly. I'm sorry, we're on a very tight time crunch, y'all, but we wanted to definitely give a shout out, which I'm not sure if it's the right word, but to acknowledge the WGA SAG-AFTRA strike that's happening right now, and to send love to all of our fellow artists who are out there on the picket lines who are fighting and demanding better compensation and better wages for their art, for their artistry, for their work.
Yeah, for sure. We're definitely sending them love, strength, and change. And, you know, Jason, it's not just the actors and the writers who are out of work. Thousands and thousands of people are out of work. EAs, hair and makeup artists, costume designers, you know, the craft service folks. So there's so many people who are out of income until we can agree on something fair. So again, love, strength, and change.
Yes. Boom. These studios need to get it together.
Literally.
Okay.
Literally.
Nicholas Christopher, let's jump in.
Yeah. So I'm so excited for everyone to listen to this episode. Like I was saying, I love all of our episodes and all of our guests. Nick, really, we have seen him perform a ton. We're both super fans. And this interview just, you know, validated everything we already knew about how kind, how genuine, how smart and talented he is. He shares some really great wisdom and some really great stories. So you guys are going to love this. And also, speaking of Sweeney Todd, we're having Maria on our panel. Nick is in Sweeney Todd currently as Pirelli and covering the man himself, Sweeney. So we're just, you know, in Sweeney land this week. I would sing the high note if I thought it would come out, but I can't.
Yeah, no.
I did it anyway.
So, Pirelli, he is incredible as Pirelli. And we haven't gotten to see him as Sweeney because, you know, we've only seen the show once. But people were raving about his Sweeney Todd. So I think everyone should get tickets as soon as possible to support and to check out our boy, Nicholas Christopher. Should I do his bio, Sam?
You sure should.
Cool. Born in Bermuda and raised in Boston, Nicholas is currently Pirelli and the Sweeney Todd understudy in Sweeney Todd. He also starred as Aaron Burr in Hamilton at the Pantages Theater. For the past 12 years, he has been a staple of the New York Broadway community, performing musicals, plays, and Shakespeare. He studied at the Juilliard School and the Boston Conservatory, where he cultivated his unique range as both an actor and a singer. His professional debut was starring alongside Lin-Manuel Miranda as Benny in The Heights in Puerto Rico. Select theater credits include Hamilton, Miss Saigon, Motown the Musical, Lazarus with David Bowie, Shakespeare in the Park, Hurt Village, and everyone's favorite, Rent. TV credits include All Rise on CBS, United States of Al on CBS, and Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll on FX. Enjoy, everybody, and see you at Broadway Con.
Also, LOL that those are his select credits. Like, they're all, right? So iconic.
Literally iconic.
See you at Broadway Con. Enjoy the episode.
Nick, welcome to Survival Jobs, a podcast. We're so excited to talk to you.
I'm so excited to be here.
Of course, Jason and I saw Sweeney a few months ago, and we were like, Pirelli, we need him. How fierce is he? Also,
iconic.
Also, when can we sneak into a Sweeney performance? Also, he's coming on Survival Jobs. Also, all the things. So thank you. Hello. Welcome.
Oh, my gosh. I'm really, really honored to be here.
That's amazing. Nick, I was doing my research on you this week, and I was on the YouTubes, and I found this performance of you from Broadway Sings Whitney Houston. And anybody who knows me knows that Whitney Houston is my favorite singer of all time, and you did Saving All My Love For You. Incredible. Brought the house down.
Really fun that performance and getting to work with those guys on the arrangement.
Yeah, Corey Mock, right?
Yeah.
Past Survival Jobs guest also.
Yeah.
Corey was on our show as well. Nice. I love when that happens.
I know, it's great.
It's good.
Well,
yeah.
It's not easy to do Whitney, and you did it.
No, that's why I had to put my own spin on it. I was like, I can't do it her way. I gotta figure out a way around that.
You killed it. And I believe I was there that night because that was in the Highline Ballroom. It was such a long time ago.
Yeah. Full circle. Jennifer Hudson was in the audience too.
She was, yeah. I remember she walked. I used to work the door. And I remember she walked in. I was like,
yeah. I was like, oh, no pressure.
That's amazing. Well, let's jump into our show, Survival Jobs, the podcast. Yeah. Do you have a favorite survival job you've had, you know, before you started booking all this amazing work on Broadway?
Yeah, I haven't had a survival job in a while, thank God, knock on wood. But I'm also like the type of person that will like wait until the bank account is like negative. And then luckily God provides and I get a job.
Yes.
So my favorite survival job, I was just thinking about this, was in high school. And I would always go to the school dances and stuff, and you know, being a whore for attention, I would always be dancing. And this is before I knew that I wasn't like a dancer. Like in my small pond, I was the dancer.
Yes, you were like the usher of the group.
Yeah, exactly. Thank God there were no video cameras on phones back then, because it's probably be very embarrassing. But me and my best friend, Tex, we'd always get, you know, everybody involved. And the DJ saw that, and he basically recruited us as hype men to go with him to different events and get like the crowd dancing and stuff. And then we ended up DJing ourselves, me and my buddy Tex. And it was perfect because we were like 14, 15 years old and DJing Sweet 16. So it was like,
it was
the best. And we, you know, you get paid like $100, and back then you'd be able to stretch $100 over a month. So it was
literally.
Going to the movies, getting extra large popcorn.
Sneakers, yeah, everything.
Sneakers.
Yeah.
That sounds so fun. Do you have a worse survival job story? One that's like a little shocking? Yeah, like a shocking one or just a story from a moment that happened at a job.
Oh, I'm trying to think. I'm really like, thank God, like I haven't had many survival jobs other than like theater jobs. So yeah.
Honestly, praise. If you don't have one, that is, no. I think, sir, that would be survival jobs of podcast history.
No, yeah, really? There was one time, it was literally just one time, my friend was like a temp recruiter, and he needed somebody to go to some convention and sell, like get people to sign up for some streaming platform that I don't even remember, and I don't even know if it really exists anymore. And
just Blockbuster's attempt.
Yeah, I was like, y'all, just sign up, sign your email here, and you can block us later, just sign up. And it did not go too well.
You're like, just sign up. Just sign, please, just sign up. Please.
I gotta get paid.
Just to keep it going, please.
Yeah.
Those sales jobs
are tough.
And then I didn't get paid for another like 6 months. And I was like, oh, so why the hell did I even do this? I need this money now.
Six months?
Yeah. It was like, Jesus. Literally like $150.
That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah.
I'm like, it probably wasn't even like a significant amount of money to be waiting 6 months for that check to clear.
Nah.
But the heck?
Yeah. And then soon after that though was I was literally on my way out the door to go get a bartending job, and I think I have a screenshot of my bank account. It was -$8.70. And I was on my way out the door to go get a job, and Hamilton called, and it was like, this is back in 2016, so it was like every time I have to go get a survival job, like thank God something falls into place.
How Broadway he goes. Hamilton called.
Yeah, right.
Hello, Mr. Hamilton from the grave. Thank you for this opportunity.
Yeah, they're like, do you think you want to do this? And I was like, oh, let me think about it for a little bit. Meanwhile, I was crying on the other end of the phone.
it's like playing hard to get. It's like, I'll get back to you. Let me talk to you.
Let me see if I can check my schedule.
Yeah.
If I'm available. Yeah. But that even happened with Sweeney. Like, I was in LA, and we had just closed the Hamilton company in LA, and I had like, thank God, like a couple TV things lined up. And then all of a sudden it was just like desert for like almost like 6 months. And as soon as I was like, all right, here we go. Gonna go work at, you know, the 24-hour fitness that was down the street or a Starbucks or anything. And I was on my way and I was driving, and then, they called about an audition for Sweeney. I was like, oh, okay. And then luckily that Sweeney started 6 weeks later.
Oh my gosh.
So 3 weeks later. 3 weeks later.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's blessed. Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed.
Oh.
Hashtag blessed.
Yes, thank God.
Oh my gosh. So like I said, I was doing my research and I read this really, really good article on National Siblings Day about you and your big bro, yeah. Jonathan. I was going to say John, but I don't know him, so I'm going to call him Jonathan. And would you mind sharing with our listeners about what inspired you to get into performance? I know that kind of ties in with Jonathan and your big sister as well. So if you want to share that story with us, I think our listeners will enjoy that.
Okay. So we were born in Bermuda, and
islands.
Yes, I'm an island boy, definitely. We were born in Bermuda, and my dad, when we were really, really little, was doing the pantomimes in Bermuda. So every year they put on some sort of musical, and it's some sort of fairy tale, and there's like call and response. There's like all these different traditions that come along with pantomime, and it's very over the top and really kind of British humor. And my dad is a very over the top, outgoing guy who's a great singer and dancer and actor. And so ever since I can, like from the time I was in my mom's belly to, you know, being 1 year old to like all the way up, we would go, we would see him on stage. And that for all of us really instilled in us this love of live theater, this love of creating characters. And so then when I was seven, we moved to Boston, and that suddenly wasn't there anymore. We couldn't go see my dad perform. So I got really into movies and really into like Indiana Jones and Robin Hood. So then I really was like pressing my mom, I really want to be an actor. So then we found this children's theater group called Stage Right, which doesn't exist anymore. And it was just off to the races from there. It was like, I got into it. And then soon after that, my brother and my sister got into it as well. And they, yes. Yeah, all three of us, like it really created this community. And it was our foundation for friends, because we had just moved to the country, and it really helped us all come out of our shells, and it really became an important part of us.
I love that so much. And what was like the first show? Was it Ragtime? Is that right? Oh, is that correct?
No, Ragtime was probably the most meaningful one. That was the one that gotcha. We did. We were like, oh, we can actually do this life-changing experience, but it wasn't necessarily the first musical that I did. I did South Pacific first.
Oh, really?
Yeah, as a 10-year-old sailor.
10!
Yeah.
That's so fun.
Iconic.
Oh my gosh, I remember the audition for that. It was like, I like was holding the paper in front of my face and just shaking and shaking and shaking. And I had my one line, and the first performance of it, I forgot my line, and I just, because I was just,
and you
so
had one
it. And I had one line, and we get to see from the smell, and it just got to that point, and I was just staring at the audience like, oh, I love it here.
But at least you remembered it now.
Oh yeah, exactly.
You know it now.
A little bit better with remembering my lines now.
That's so beautiful. You just said, I looked at the audience and you said, oh, I love it here. That's so beautiful. And I just want to shout out children's theaters all around, because yes. I know I had an experience similar where you mentioned, this is my foundation for friends. This is where I found my friends. You know, we're talking about Ben Simpson, who never listens to this show, but we talk about him a lot. That's where I found him. You know, this is where you find your people and you find your passion. So shout out to children's theaters. Oh, I love it here. I love that. I mean, we have to
I
remember
say,
that,
Jay. As corny as it sounds, like you find yourself there too, because exactly. Everybody, it's like just what a band of misfits that you can truly explore who you are and be weird, and that's okay.
Exactly. It's okay. I love that.
It is all okay.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
I want to jump and chat a little bit about your college audition experience for Juilliard. We have a lot of college listeners, a lot of high school listeners who want to pursue this. So can you share what that experience was like and any tips you might have?
Oh, yeah. I think my college audition experience was a great one and a traumatic one at the same time. Because I was having a good time in high school, and I was DJing on the weekends and
dancing
and you know, playing sports and doing theater, and like, you know, I was able to talk my way out of a lot of the things and not talk my way out of things, and so I didn't have great grades in high school, and later I found out that I'm really dyslexic. And it's not until I was like 20 years old that I finally take the test. And they were like, yeah, you're dyslexic. And I was like, oh, well, good to know that now.
That makes sense. I tried.
yeah. And so I didn't get great grades. And so when I went to audition for colleges, a lot of the schools in the room were like, we want you to come to our school. You know, we believe in your the possibilities. And you know, I was like, great. So I was like flying high. And then when the acceptance letters came out, I didn't get in anywhere because of my grade. So whether it was Carnegie Mellon or CCM or any of those places that are attached to universities, the universities didn't accept me based on my grades. So thank God, Boston Conservatory wasn't attached to a university, and they accepted me. And I don't know if I was on some sort of like academic probation or something for the first year, something like that, where it was I had to really prove myself in classes and stuff. And
for sure,
luckily, I got pretty good grades there, and I was able to really take my time and focus on that aspect of it. And I had a great time at Boston Conservatory and learned so much, especially about my voice and dance and stuff. But I did feel the need that I wanted to focus more on acting because that's where I realized my true passion was. And although dancing and singing are fun, and I use those skills today, I wanted to focus on, you know, I wanted to do Shakespeare, I wanted to do Chekhov, I wanted to do these things that would really challenge me that I didn't know anything about. So while I was at the BoCo, I decided to audition for Juilliard, not thinking that I would get in. And I just wanted to exercise that and get it out of my system because I always regretted that I didn't audition for it out of high school. And I mean, the process was like, it just was like, nothing I had ever experienced before, where it was more about, because they do this audition weekend once you get past the first round. And it's probably like, you know, maybe 60 people, if I remember correctly. It's a bunch of people that come for the weekend and you just take classes. And I just remember the teachers being so in tune with what was happening with you, whether it was, you know, tension in your left shoulder, and then they release that, and then they have you do your monologue again, and it comes out a completely different way. And it was such a warm, nurturing environment for that weekend. So I was like,
that's beautiful.
Yeah, once I had that weekend, I was like, oh, I'm great. I don't need anything else because now I And then I got in and it was like, oh, shoot. Okay, how am I going to pay for this? How am I going to get to New York? How am I going to tell my friends at Boston Conservatory? Yeah, I think because I had nothing to lose in that Juilliard audition, I was able to bring my full self.
I love that so much. Yeah, nothing to lose. Oh, my gosh.
Fun.
That does sound fun. I wish I could be that way.
You can, Jay.
One day I'll find my inner Nick.
Yeah.
Inner Nick.
I'm trying to do the same thing.
I'm trying to find my inner Nick as well. Like, thank you.
Yeah.
I love that.
Easier said than done, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, well, let's talk about Sweeney Todd, which is why we're all here today. You're bringing the role of Pirelli to life, and you're on standby for Sweeney. How incredible is that?
For the man himself.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So what's your favorite part about playing? Let's start with Pirelli. What's your favorite part about playing him 8 times a week?
Well, first of all, my favorite thing about playing Pirelli is that we do it 7 times a week.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because of the lovely Josh Groban.
Yes.
We only do 7 shows a week. Thank God.
Lit.
2 days off. What do you? I don't even know what to do with all that time.
Two days off. That's nice.
Yeah, Monday and Tuesday we get off.
That's iconic.
Amazing. It's amazing. So I think, I mean, the best thing about playing Pirelli is that, I mean, I just get to go up and be a goofball. And luckily, I can do whatever I want. And it's okay. And the more I lean into it, the more I have fun, the more I try to make my cast members laugh and break character, the more fun that the audience has. And I think it's a really interesting part of the show because it's so quick, but it's sort of the jumping off point for the rest of the plot and Sweeney. So it's nice to give the audience a bit of levity before it gets really dark. And I think another thing about it is that Pirelli never crossed my mind as something I would ever play, ever.
Yeah.
You know, because it's normally some sort of like middle-aged, sure, overweight opera singer, yeah, like, you know, whatever. And so I had turned down the audition once because it was like, I ain't even gonna try. I'm not even gonna attempt to do that. A, because I'm in LA, and B, because I can't sing like that. And then my brother got cast.
Yes.
And he called me and he said, oh, I just got cast in Sweeney. You know, they're still looking for a Pirelli. Why don't you audition? And I was like, oh, I just turned that audition down. And damn. And I was like thinking about it. And I was like, well, I want to do a show with my brother. Or at least I want to attempt to do a show with my brother. Because we haven't spent this much time together in years. So let's try it at least. So the audition ended up coming back around. And I put myself on tape, sent it in, thinking like, you know, this isn't really gonna happen, but if it could, it would be great. And they came back and they didn't tell me I had the part. They said, oh, would you be interested in auditioning for the standby for Sweeney as well? And I was like,
as well,
man. Yeah. It's like, oh, hell yeah. and you know, that's another part that I never thought I would play until I was like 60, you know, in some like regional production or something. So then they were like, okay, well, if you want to audition for it, come to New York. I was like, okay. And so then I came to New York and I did all of Pirelli stuff and could not sing it. It was too high. It was too, it was just not, it wasn't there. And so I was embarrassed about that. So they were like, fine, we'll change the keys if we need to change the keys. Don't worry about it. And then I did the Sweeney stuff. And I just remember the last song that I did was Epiphany. And I just remember Bernie Telsey just sitting there and he was like, wow. Like, is that a good wow? Wow. And thank God it was a good wow. And then, you know, thank God I got booked and blessed. And I had to figure out how to move my whole family from LA to New York in 3 weeks before we started rehearsal.
Wow, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You're like, but I'm going. I'm going to be that.
I'm going. We got to go. We got to make this money. It's either this or a survival job, baby. And this one, like, that pays a little bit more. So we got to go.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's so good. I have to ask a question. So it might be spoilers for all of you who have not listened, but can you tell us what it's like to like die on stage? How is that death scene going?
Yeah.
What does it feel like? Give us the inside scoop.
Yeah, so I mean, it's hilarious to be killed by like probably the nicest man in show business. Like, yeah. Josh is just literally a teddy bear, and like he got a little mischievous side, and like we joke around a lot, and but it's cool. I mean, I get shoved in a trunk. And then I have to like wait there until the lights go down so that I can climb out. It's a lot of fun because there's also all like cushions in there.
That was going to be my next question. Like, what is it like in that box? Is there a breathing
hole? A little nap you can take in those cushions?
Well, I take my iPad in there and my earbuds, and I just hang out for the rest of the act. No, that's what I tell people.
Can you imagine?
He's like Andy Bernard.
And then you have like an alarm go off on your iPad.
Everything comes back to the office.
Yeah, that's Sweeney Todd.
Even Josh Groban and Sweeney Todd.
Yeah. I know, isn't that crazy? Yeah. When Andy has like the cell phone on stage and he's like getting a phone call. That's not Nick. He's a professional.
Maybe.
But yeah, no, luckily there's enough breathing room in the trunk, and I'm not in there for the rest of the act, but I won't give away the theater magic of it.
Do not. But that was good. That was good scoop. And I also do want to talk a little bit more about your standing by for Sweeney. Like when you went on, I heard through the theater community, like, holy shit, everyone needs to see Nick as Sweeney. Like, people were buzzing. So can you tell us what it has been like? You've gone on a few times or just once?
Around 10 times.
Around 10. Around there. Wow. What has it been like when you go on for this role? And why do you also think this story resonates with audiences still? It's been done so many times.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first time I went on was in like third week of previews, around there. And I had only had like one music rehearsal back in January. So like, It was go time. And it was because Josh, like, really poor Josh, got so sick with how hard he was working and all of that stuff. And you know, he would never miss a show unless it was like a serious thing. And so like 3 hours before showtime, they're like, we were in tech still. We were teching a part of the show still. And they were like, Josh is out of the show. Nick, you're wrong. And I was like, they're like, do you think you can do it? And I was like, I guess we'll find out. It's either that or like cancel the show. So it's like, all right, pressure's on. And so we started kind of putting me into the show with the rest of the rehearsal that we had that day, which is like an hour left. And I knew that, once I hit like Pretty Women into Epiphany, that was kind of where my bag is right there, because I studied those songs the most and everything. So there was a real like tension in the theater, and they were like, okay, well, what do you want to run other than certain technical elements like the chair and stuff? I was like, okay, let me do Pretty Women into Epiphany. And they're like, great. And I knew that by doing that would build my confidence in being able to do that night, and I knew that it would build the confidence of everybody else
around you. So, yeah,
because if everybody else is tense, then I'm already dealing with my emotions. Let's get into it.
You can't take on a whole company's emotions as well.
exactly. So we did that, like, you know, 10-15 minutes of the show, and I felt like a sigh of relief, and everybody else did too. And then I think that was the most that night, thank God, because the character Sweeney is such a fish out of water, and he's, you know, when you have a secret, you're observing and you're hyper aware, and so being on stage that day, I was hyper aware and hyper focused, and there were stage managers off stage with scripts, so I could go and I could read the lines and then run back out on stage and say the lines. There were pieces of script taped to the set that nobody could see, so I could like run over and like look at lyrics or whatever I needed to do. And I think it was the most magical stage experience I've ever had in my life. Like, I cry about it right now. Just the way everybody pulled together and the way that it happened, and not only was it, the show didn't stop, but it was a transcended experience for me, because you had to be in the moment. You couldn't think about the moment you were in, because you're thinking about the next moment. So you have to be ultra present. There's no time to to impose your own thoughts on moments. You just really have to live in it and really express yourself in a way that's not contrived. It was wonderful. Yeah.
I got chills. I got butterflies. I got bright.
It's really like a legendary experience.
Bowing down to you.
I'm like, where's the bootleg? I know there has to be some audio floating around, like one of these chat boards. We need it. If anyone's listening and they have the bootleg, send it to survivaljumpspot@gmail.com. Just kidding, don't bootleg.
You're gonna ban you from the theater, Sam.
That's what I said. Just kidding, don't bootleg at the theater. It's not a good look. We don't support that here. I was kidding, you guys.
What if I'm out? You can bootleg it. Yeah. Okay. Send it to Survival Jobs. Not to me, though. I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
So good.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions 18+. Nick, you've worked on so many iconic shows besides Sweeney in the Heights, Hamilton. Do you have like a dream role or a dream collaboration or a dream project you would like to do, or you will do, not you like to do, you will do one day? We're manifestors on this podcast.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Same thing in my household. To be honest, like after playing Sweeney Todd, like I don't know where to go from here. So it's like there are things that are really cool, but like to be able to get a role that's this dense, that's this so iconic, it's like I don't really know what musicals are being written right now that are like this, and I really hope and pray that there is. Let me think. I guess I would love to play Cole House in Ragtime. That would be a pretty amazing. I love that.
And because Ragtime
was such a pivotal experience in my life by doing the show.
My favorite musical. Oh my gosh.
Gorgeous.
I love it. And I saw your daddy's son. I saw you perform your daddy's son too. You know music. Couldn't see the light. She was running crazy. That's on YouTube as well.
Yeah. I just love singing female songs.
You killed it.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a good one to sing. So lit.
We're going to manifest Cole House for you. There has to be a revival of that coming out sometime soon, right?
There hasn't been one in a while.
Yeah.
That's true.
There was a concert, right? There was a concert.
Yeah. They did the Cole House. I went to that. Me and my brother and my sister went to it.
Oh, my gosh.
The reunion concert.
Yeah.
It was the day after we opened. And somehow Jonathan got these tickets that like nobody could get. And it was from the first chords. We were a wreck. We were crying. My sister's handing out tissues. I couldn't believe it.
Those big sisters are perfect for that. They're always taking care of the younger ones. Yeah. Shout out to your wife, Vanessa.
Yeah, Vanessa. Always telling us.
Shout out, Vanessa. Those are the most beautiful theatrical moments where, like, you hear one note or, like, the lights go down or one thing happens and you just are done. That is, I think, like, such a beautiful part of what we all love and do.
I mean, you can't. Yeah, there's nothing else like it.
Nothing. Literally nothing. Okay, we're coming down to the end of our interview, and surprise, we always end the show with a fun game. So I hope you're ready to play a game.
Let's do it.
Okay. Before we play the game, we know you're, you know, in the show 7 days a week. Shout out to 2 days off. But are you diving into any art right now that's feeding your soul, any shows, any books, any plays, anything you've seen on Broadway that's really like inspired you?
Yeah. Last show I just saw Parade on Sunday.
Oof.
And
bye.
Yeah. I think just the whole, how it was such a cohesive show, and everybody was in the same play. You know what I mean? Sometimes you see things and not everybody's in the same world. And it was a gorgeous production. Michaela Diamond's performance just ruined me.
And she's so that 23. Was, I always want to say that to people.
It's not real.
I'm like,
it's
she's
not
23, maybe 24.
Fantastic. She is absolutely fantastic. And then I just read, you know, I've been going, what did I just read? I just read two different things. I read this historical book about the Black Count. It's basically Alex Dumas, who wrote the Three Musketeers and Man of the Iron Mask. And anyway, his dad was Black.
Yeah.
And his dad was, you know, a really high ranking general in the French army back in the 1700s. And then as Napoleon scaled back all the civil rights that Black people had gotten in France during that time, he ended up being locked away in a prison for years and years, and ended up pretty much dying destitute after he did so much for the country. It's a fantastic story. So that's been really inspiring to me. And
what's it called again?
It's called The Black Count.
Love that. Sounds great.
Yeah, it's a really crazy story. Yeah, his dad like sold him into slavery when he was a kid. Like it was like it's against all odds story that everybody should read and everybody should know about this guy. And then I also just randomly picked up August Wilson's King Hedley II, and was reading that, and that ruined me too. Like I think.
You've been on a heavy train recently, Nick.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's not like I get to go to the show and have like levity. It's like I'm living in this weird, dark, like crazy world of I don't know, of my own choosing,
sure
I guess.
Are.
I don't know what that says about me. But yeah. So I think those are, I haven't picked up anything since I put down King Hedley because
need like, a beat. Wow. Yeah, you're like, give me a beat to not be ruined.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I mean, thank you for trash. Sometimes it's good to just watch a little trash TV and just veg out and not think about real life.
At all. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe some office Nothing reruns.
Wrong. Oh, always.
Get the peacock.
Always. That's all my family. My family, we communicate through office memes. we don't type anything or whatever. We just give memes.
There's a gift for every emotion, every feeling.
Everything.
Yeah. Everything. I'm trying to get Samantha on the Michael Scott train.
Yeah, I was going to say, I still have never watched The Office. Jason yells at me all the time.
Yeah. It's one of those things, once you start watching it, you really can't stop.
Yeah.
Can I say, Samantha, just watch the Sweeney Todd episode. It's hilarious. Really? I went to go see it. I was like, gotta get that out of my head.
The demon barber of Fleet Street.
Wow! Oh, that was amazing! That was awesome! I auditioned for this. When did the cast list go up?
Like a month ago.
Really? They didn't call me. Who am I playing?
think you said that to me when we were there. I think you said, I think you were talking about it. Okay, I will do that. That will be my homework assignment before the next episode. I will watch that episode. And then I will give a recap about my feeling.
Okay, good. Yes, good.
There you go. You.
I like know the characters, and I've seen many friends dress up as these people. Dwayne, what's his name?
Dwight.
Dwight. Dwayne.
Yeah.
Like a newspaper skirt. I've seen, you know, like I'm familiar.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I just haven't. Listen, I like the drama.
She okay? does like the drama.
I'm yeah. like, if you want to quiz me on Scandal, I'll give you every.
Oh gosh. You know. Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Okay. Speaking of Scandal, sorry. Sometimes I get ADD. Shout out to your stage manager Cody, who he and I always text about Scandal. We love.
Oh really? I was like, wait, where is this going? Oh, okay, great.
That's where
like,
it's going.
Does he have a scandal? What's going on?
We will like randomly watch like Scandal and be like, look at this episode I'm watching. And then we're like, why are we watching this for the millionth time? Like, we know what's going to happen.
It's so good, though.
It is good. Well, I'll live in Shondaland and stay there. Okay, thank you. Thank you for my ADD moment.
Yeah.
Nick, before our fun game, last question. Can you leave us and leave our listeners with some advice for anybody who may be struggling in a survival job right now, who's like wondering if they should continue doing this, like they should continue waking up early for these auditions, which is probably not because there's a strike happening. But, you know, the general kind of like if people are just, you know, confused or trying to make it and are struggling, you have any advice for them?
I guess like what I've had to learn is control what I can control. So like during those, like the last 6 months of 2022, when I wasn't working and I have a family to provide for and bills to pay and all these things.
Yeah.
As much as I was in a cloud of the anxiety of it all and the cloud of not knowing who I am outside of my profession, I really truly just had to buckle down and continuing working on my craft. And as frustrating as it would be to read a script or to write something that nobody would ever see me perform or nobody else would ever read, it still kept my juices flowing. So that when I got back into rehearsal, I wasn't like dusting off. I was already like well-oiled machine of like breaking down scripts and I kept singing, so my voice was in good shape, and physically I was going to the gym, so my body was ready, and I just had to stay ready and not knowing how long I'd have to stay ready for. It was incredibly trying time, so I feel your pain, and I hear you and I see you in that struggle, because it's definitely not easy. But the only people that succeed are the people that stick with it.
Facts. Yeah. Stay sharp. That's stay well oiled, everybody. Yeah.
Stay sharp. I love that. This was so much fun. You're amazing. Oh, we are Nick Christopher fans through and through. So such an honor to have you on the show. Thank
trying
you
to channel
again.
My inner Nick. Still doing trying.
Yeah, we're just all gonna channel our inner Nick.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. I'm really excited to talk to you guys. This went by so fast.
I know. That's when you know it's a good one, because we're like, wait, what did we even say? And what time is it? And where am I? What day is it? Exactly. So like we said, we love to always bring it back to have a little fun, keep things light. Sometimes we get really deep on here. So we thought we'd play a movie musical trivia game, since Sweeney Todd was made into a movie musical. Let's test your knowledge.
Okay.
Don't worry. We cheat sometimes if you're really stumped. Okay. Jason, you want to take it off?
Take it off,
baby.
Wrong podcast, but it is hot in here. I'm like, those watching the video, I'm kind of had to keep dabbing up.
Dabbing up. Take it off.
First one, the film version of Mamma Mia used songs that featured in this day's musical. Sorry, I don't know what this says. That's not written correctly. The film version of Mamma Mia used songs that were featured in the stage musical. Which popular band from the 1970s/80s composed music for both the film and the stage version? It's multiple choice. If you need multiple choice, it's A.
Not
Wham.
ABBA. We know ABBA.
Oh, okay. There we go.
That one, I got nervous. I knew that one. Yes. I've never seen it, but I knew that.
Bonus,
it'd
be so fun. Meryl Streep.
I've only seen the first one, but aren't there like seven now? How many are there? A lot.
I've only seen the one with Meryl.
I think there's like a couple, but you know, we don't need to go into all of them. Okay, number two. Based on a true story, this musical movie is the story of an aspiring composer in New York City who is worried he made the wrong career choice while navigating the pressure of love and friendship. It's multiple choice. Do you need the multiple choice?
Tick, tick, boom.
Two for two.
Two for two.
And you didn't even get the multiple choices. I think we give bonus points for both of these because there were no multiple choice options given. Congratulations.
Thank you, thank you. I think you all would probably kill me if I didn't know that.
So. If you didn't know it, like, from jump.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
What a good movie.
This is a true or false? Oh, I know. It's such a good movie. Oh. That wrecked me. Yeah, right? I was in the theater. I actually saw it in the movie theater crying.
Oh my God.
Okay, true or false? Jennifer Hudson originated the role of Rachel Marin in the Bodyguard musical made famous by Whitney Houston in the film. True or false?
Wait. False, right? Wait.
Yeah, correct. False.
Oh, okay, great.
It was Heather Headley.
Yes. There we go.
Wow, you're really killing it.
Three for three,
Three for three plus two extra bonuses.
And I feel like I got these questions from BuzzFeed. The wording is weird, right? I feel like I'm reading it and I don't want to know what I'm reading.
Like I said, I'm like making sure we read the word. This next one, like, I don't know how I landed on this question. It's a paragraph, so bear with me today.
I think it's a synopsis.
This is a synopsis. And then I'll give you some multiple choice, which I don't think you'll need the multiple choice. Number four, a trio of women form a music group in the 60s, which leads to an ambitious manager spotting the act at a talent show. He offers the chance of a lifetime to be backup singers for a national star. The manager takes creative control of the group and eventually pushes the singers into the spotlight. However, one becomes the star, forcing another out, which teaches them about the high cost of fame.
Oof.
Multiple choice. Hey.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow. Okay, you
Dina,
really?
Okay, Dina Jones. Watch out, Beyonce.
Hey. Watch out, Beyonce.
Amazing. Bring that back. That's my dream role.
Yes.
Lit.
I'll play Dina.
Oh my gosh. Iconic.
Iconic. Maybe could.
And who would be the other dream? Who would be the other dream? Okay, no, that's off topic. Okay. like really?
We're gonna make this cast.
We'll pitch it to Ben. We'll pitch it to Ben to produce.
There we go.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. All right. Coming together, you guys.
Okay, the bonus, which you obviously don't need, but here we go. This controversial actor starred as a title character in the Sweeney Todd film adaptation.
Controversial? I guess he is.
I know! I was
just
saying, I literally...
He had that whole
lawsuit
thing,
right? I watched
that
whole trial. Speaking of, like, trash TV, I watched every minute of that trial. For no reason. Like, I mean, I was out of work. That's what I do with my time, too.
Yeah.
I watched every second of it. I'd be putting my baby girl for a nap and have, like, one earbud in just listening to it and be like, oh!
Yes.
Johnny Depp.
Why am I crying? He goes controversial. Ooh,
I guess so.
That was me in the Gwyneth trial. Her skiing trial.
Yikes.
How did
wild
that
times we're living in.
What was
she
the,
won?
She won.
I think I don't know. I don't wanna the guy just did not win because I don't think he was being accurate in his recalls. But she won a dollar, I think, right? That's what the thing was? Like she sued for a dollar or something.
Good for her. She couldn't even buy a pack of gum with that dollar.
No, nothing.
At all. Well, congratulations. You really killed the game.
Yeah.
You have a beautiful prize of you get a VIP invite to the season 3 premiere of Survival Jobs, a podcast, which we've been in season 2 for a long time. So we don't know when that will be. But when we eventually make a season 3, you're on the guest list.
Sometime in the fall.
Oh, yeah. Great. I'll be there. I'll be
sometime
there.
In the fall.
Yes.
It's on a Monday or a Tuesday. I'll be there.
Yes. Boom. There we go.
Or like a late Sunday. We usually do late Sunday.
I love a late Sunday.
Shout out to Glasshouse for hosting.
Shout out to Glasshouse.
Always. I'm at Glasshouse way too much. I walk in and they have a drink poured for me ready on the bar. Like,
you've probably seen Samantha there because she's the Glasshouse queen.
I look at my credit card statement and I'm like, why? Go to bed. Why don't we take a nap?
You don't need any more risotto balls.
No more risotto balls. Brandon Owens is like, Samantha, hello. Would you like a Malbec or an espresso martini today? Like my two drinks.
Yeah.
I'm like, how about a water?
They don't have water there.
No.
No water.
Those risotto balls, though. Oh my gosh, I want them right now.
And I just learned you can put chicken on the flatbread, and it's really been a game changer. I just
chicken and bacon for me. That's all. Chicken and bacon. That's
on the flatbread. Wow, good. See, look,
the chili con queso. That chili con queso. I had to eventually stop eating it because I was eating it too much.
It's heavy. Yeah. We did a roundtable with the cost of living, Tony Noms, and they were screaming about the duck. I didn't even know there was duck on the menu.
There's duck.
Exactly on the dinner menu. Yeah,
on the dinner menu. Oh.
They were saying it is the best thing ever. So shout out, try the duck.
Mm-hmm. All right, try the duck. That's the name of this episode.
Try the duck. Oh man!
Oh my gosh!
Now our little Glasshouse love fest. I love that.
Yeah. Next time we do this, we should shoot it live at Glasshouse.
We will.
We should.
Here we are.
We will. We did our round table there. Let's do it. We love Chris.
Nick, before we go, I'm a sweaty mess right now. Can you just say where people can find you and support you virtually on your social media pages if there are new fans of you listening in today?
So the only real social media I use is Instagram. So you can find me at, you can either type my name in Nicholas Christopher or you can type in N-I-K-R-I-Z, Nicriz.
Yeah.
Which was my DJ name in high school.
Yes, DJ.
Wow. That's a really good DJ name.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Lit. Wait, how many times have I said lit today?
You're not doing the TikToks? Come on, DJ.
No, man. I don't know. I'm barely good enough on Instagram.
That's how we feel.
Once I'm like absolutely like rich and famous, I'm throwing this thing in the deepest part of the ocean because it's like I'm just not good at it. I'm gonna get a flip phone.
Yeah, like bringing it back to the old days.
Yeah.
And if you guys are just tuning in because you're a Nick fan and you don't know us yet, follow us on at Survival Jobs Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Wait, does Twitter still exist or do we use the thread now? Okay. Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. I think I have a Twitter too, but who knows what that is. Yeah.
Sorry guys, I'm like not with it today. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Survival Jobs Pod, on Facebook at Survival Jobs a Podcast. Shoot us an email, give us some feedback, survivaljobspod@gmail.com. Follow my boy Jason at Jason A. Coombe. I never can point. Like, I never can get it right. Like, it really stresses me out.
Over there.
And follow me at Sammy Toot. Nick, you're amazing. This was so much fun.
Yeah,
all the bonuses in the game. All the bonuses in the game.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me and thanks for doing this. I think it's so important to hear that everybody who is, you might think, made it has struggled and continues to struggle and that we're all in it together. So I really appreciate you guys for doing that.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. That means a lot. And everyone, go see Sweeney Todd.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah, hey. 7 times a week.
Seven times.
We'll put all the information in our show notes at the bottom to get tickets. Awesome.
Yay.
Thank you,
Thank
Nick.
You.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.